Welcome back. I'm Gary Parr.
And I'm Beth Ellicott.
And you're listening to Fiber Talk, the twice-weekly podcast for needlework artists. Our artist this week, Brittany Kirstner of Brittany Kirstner Fine Art. Brittany, welcome.
Hi, I'm here.
All right. Oh, boy, this artwork is fun. I was fascinated, and then when I noticed you were using zip ties, it's like, wait a minute, what's she doing? Man, abstract textile art, but there's clearly an art background in you. Is it formal art training, or are you just a natural artist?
Probably a mix of both. I do have a fine art degree. Went to Fullerton, Cal State Fullerton, and a few junior colleges before that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Was art always your plan?
For, at least from what, you know, family has explained, like, just I've been working, making art, like, since I was little. Now as an adult, I've been given all these childhood drawings and even embroidery work that I did very young. Grandparents, my grandma's teaching me how to sew and how to work in embroidery for a very young age. My parents buying me embroidery kits, you know, all those pattern syncing things that you do when you're a child.
Yeah.
So yes. Uh-huh.
Okay. So yeah. It's been in your blood from day one then.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So you're obviously your grandma, artistic, creative, your mother too.
My mother, supportive.
Oh.
Yeah. So she would say she's supportive, but not crafty or anything. She has, yeah, that's another thing. But yeah, I have paternal grandmother, actually a number of, great grandmas and aunts on that side. That are very interested in craft, traditional craft as well, because they're Mohawk, Iroquois.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's where the basket weaving. So that, oh, okay.
Because
mm-hmm. when I showed the example of Mohawk Iroquois basket weaving, I wasn't quite sure how that fit into the picture. So that's the history then.
Yes, they're very interested in those sorts of craft, but also, you know, American craft as well, like, you know, embroidery and things like that. Knitting, crocheting too, as well.
Yeah.
So did you learn how to do the, to make baskets from your family then?
No, I didn't. I would say there's a lot of that on our, around us. My grandma, collects Mohawk baskets, so I just kind of grew up with them all over the house. She had, I don't know if she has all of them still, but she had like hundreds of them at one point. I have a number of them too that have been passed down. They're kind of like important sorts of things that you get, like when you get married, or they're like important gifts to give. Baskets.
So your grandmother makes them, or?
No, she doesn't make them. My grandma, my dad's mom, she knits, crochets, does embroidery. She likes to do cross-stitch a lot, cross-stitching on blankets. I have a lot of those kind of things. My grandmother, my great-grandma, her mother did a lot of embroidery too. I have samples of her work. And I actually have her, it's hard to explain, but it's like a pin cushion. The Mohawk way of making a pin cushion is to like have the cushion set inside a Mohawk basket. And so I have my great grandmother's pin cushion baskets.
Mm.
And they're made in this traditional sort of way, you know, like the black ash and the sweetgrass woven.
Oh, you must send a photo.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Definitely. They're pretty like standard like splint baskets, mm-hmm. made out of those traditional materials.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but just have something from your great grandmother that makes it very special, I think.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and all those things were handmade too.
Yeah. Wow.
Right.
That's so cool to have that history. The art, obviously, in you right out of the gate. Did when you went to school to get an art degree, what was your intent? Painter, drawing?
Yeah, I would say it's been hard to nail me down in one medium. I think I've sort of always been like mixed media because I do a lot. I have like a strong drive to always be making work. So I'm always doing sort of things simultaneously. Like even while you see on my account, like while I'm doing my fiber paintings, I'm also like drawing and painting other things that I might not show the world. It's kind of sort of my process. I like to think that like if I'm spending a lot of time in the abstract that I have to do something on the side that's like going to hone my eye. So I'll do like a really detailed line drawing of some sort. Like I like to draw pictures actually of all of my artist friends. I have lots of portfolios of those sorts of things that I don't, that are just for me really. I think it trains my hand and my eye.
So I wondered about that because the work that you show is very, very abstract. And then, you know, I wonder if as an abstract artist, that's all you do. But no, you don't. You need the variety then.
Right.
Right. So do you keep a daily sketchbook habit then?
I don't know if I'd say it's daily, but it's pretty regular.
So how did you see yourself doing it as a full-time? Is it a full-time job, if you will, that your career, that you, your art, or?
Yeah, it's my career. It's been a sort of slow process build up to this point. And it's still, still building, I would say, especially this last year. A number of the years I wasn't on social media and I just been, you know, making work. I've been showing work in like the gallery setting since about 2007, just not like posting it, you know, online. Yeah, right. Which is the way the world works now, I suppose. So that's why I've been sort of making these process videos across different platforms more recently.
So then it's create art to sell or commission work or both?
I would say it's mainly create art to sell, but also to create art.
Yeah.
I think it boils down to like, I'm going to make work whether or not it sells. Right. But,
yeah. That's the artist right there. Yeah, you have to create.
Yeah, I have made some commissions, certainly, over all these years. But typically, it's like difficult to kind of make commissions, I think, because sort of the nature of what I'm doing is spontaneous and intuitive. And I can't like necessarily guarantee that I will have the same vision as what the collector has.
Mm-hmm. So do you play music or do you just get an emotion? You feel like, okay, I'm going to start here. How do you start your work?
I think it's like always sort of in my mind, actually.
Okay.
I have three young children, five and under. I have a 5-year-old and I have 2-year-old twins.
So you're busy.
I'm very busy. And so while I'm shuffling around and doing all those things, I'm thinking about what next step I want to take on the work that day.
Mm-hmm. So always. do you set up a time then? Because with small children, they can become everything where you don't have time to yourself. So do you have a set time like in the morning or in the evening and say, well, now's my time to work?
Oh, yes. Yeah. I do lose, I would say, probably a fair amount of sleep with, you know, making certain sacrifices to do this work. I get up very early in the morning on most days to make work about 4:30 in the morning. I also utilize nap time, things like that. I definitely prioritize, as you'll see, like, of course, on my platforms, like, I am pretty much, I set aside time every single day, always. And I've done this for a long time.
Right.
A long time.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah, I think it's important when you're a young mom to take that time.
Yeah, it's just, I think a lot of people, like, at least people I know personally, spend a lot of time, like, watching TV. It's just, it's like choices, right? Like, my choice is, instead of, like, watching TV or doing something like that, I'd rather make work.
So do you feel more creative, like, early in the morning? Is that a good, I mean, like, I'm more creative in the morning and much more than later at night. So that's where my question's coming from.
Yeah. Oh, yes. Yeah. I would say I'm definitely a morning person. Mm-hmm. Yeah. But also the quiet of, like, the home, the atmosphere is helpful, I think.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So do you have a studio room or a room where you can go to escape to do this?
Yes. I have, like, sort of two studio spaces. I have, like, my home studio room that I use to make work. And also film as much as I do, I think. And then I also have a studio space in Claremont at my gallery representation as well. Mm-hmm.
So you can
escape. I do that too. Yeah. Yeah, I don't know though. Like, having that energy also, like, sort of is honed, I think, in, like, the work. It drives you, or at least does me. It helps me, like, I don't know, seeing how, like, their young bodies, like, are interested in, like, material also maybe is coming into my work, like, how I can sort of picture things.
So the work that you've been, that you show on your Instagram account and on your website, the mixed media, but with thread, yarn,
yeah,
wire, mm-hmm, zip ties, mm-hmm, you name it. How did that, yes, whole concept come to be? Is that you just had a vision one day, or is that an evolution through some time?
I think it's a mixture of all those things, probably also evolution. But I think I've always been really interested in exploring, like, critical materials and exploring how, like, critical materials, like, reflect my culture, my personal history, how, like, a wide range of materials can be, like, intertwined and juxtaposed. It's, like, sort of a metaphor, I think, for my background. There's, like, repurposing things, too, like, just exploring, like, things beyond, like, imitation and, like, pattern seeking. I know a lot of embroidery and fiber work is at least, like, in traditional craft, very pattern seeking. And I'm really interested in, like, in moving away from, like, that practical sense. Like, my aesthetics, I think, are more abstracted just because I'm looking to, like, carry social and personal messages.
So when you start one of these abstract pieces, is there a plan laid out on a piece of paper in your sketchbook, or do you just pick up a piece of whatever it is you use for ground or background and just let your hands go and see what comes out?
Exactly that.
Okay.
It's like a very slow process of building everything. And then, like, once I have sort of what I feel like is like a framework, I begin weaving the fibers on top in almost like a splint basketry kind of way.
Okay. I can see that. I can see that because, looking at your work, you know, you see how you've woven things in and out. And then underneath, though, you have, it seems like you sometimes have paint, right? So you like having, mm-hmm, a background layer of color instead of using just like the blank canvas.
Right. Yeah, I've been experimenting more recently with paint on, as the ground. I love painting as well, so when I can incorporate that, I like trying to.
Right.
Yeah, it feels like I'm synthesizing something new that's different.
The thing that I think both Beth and I noted watching the little video clips that you'd posted is that the work is, in relative terms, quite physical as opposed to traditional embroidery where you sit in a chair and move your hands and nothing else. I mean, you are up on your feet and working both sides of that thing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yeah, I like the physicality of what I'm doing right now. Yes. And I like that it sort of requires me to stand. It's funny how, like, you think of, like, the runner who's, like, running miles and, like, sort of working through, like, their thoughts. It sort of feels like that. But also the rhythmicness of it, like, instead of the foot pattern of running, it's, like, the punch and the pull of the thread. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So take us through the materials that you use, because it seems like very little is off limits to you. Is it yarn, thread, string? What do you dye it?
Yeah, I use a variety of things. I would say the vast majority is like the basic sort of cotton DMC, or also silk. Embroidery thread is like the large part of what I'm doing, but I also do use yarn, waxed cord. I like to repurpose textiles like fabrics that I might cut up into strips and use as another form of fiber. I really like achieving like straightness, like straight lines, rather than like, I think a lot of embroidery is very curved and like round. And I really want to achieve more of like sort of the linear overlapping woven look. So I do it with a lot of straight lines.
Yeah. It's interesting to see what you're able to do with basically, yeah, just long straight lines and the way you interweave them connect the colors. And then at some point you said you were experimenting with wire. How that's got to be a challenge.
Yeah.
just to handle the material.
Yes, I am using wire as well, and that's fun. I my recent sculptures that I've been making for an upcoming exhibition, I build out and galvanized wire. These wire frames, and then I sew the fabric, like repurposed fabrics on the top, and then I've been plastering those, and then I do the embroidery on them.
And some of it, you have these wooden stands that you're working on to hold the piece. Those look like something you had to design to meet your needs, or...
Well, they're actually painting easels.
Oh, they are? Oh.
I have a variety of easels that I use. Yeah, certain ones I think sort of fit like the purpose of what I'm trying to achieve easier. And some don't. Like some of them have a lot of like, one of them I have has like these knobs on the bottom that can kind of be a nuisance. If I'm not like careful, I can get the wires or even the fiber like wrapped around them. I have my favorites that I use.
Yeah. And that was the other thing I wondered is, as you're doing, creating these pieces, is these long strands that you're using. It seems like there's an awful lot, or would be an awful lot of care to make sure you don't get things all tangled up.
There is a lot of that sort of nuisance to this aspect like of work. Like my biggest like issue is like getting like knots, like embroidery fiber like loves to get tangled into knots,
right?
Yeah, so I battle knots a lot. I'm actually an expert now in releasing knots. Bring me your knots and I will untangle it for you.
Yeah, we all know about those knots.
Yeah.
Always on the back side, 20 stitches ago. And like, oh, geez, really? Yep.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah. Sometimes it's easier to just keep on going.
Yes. You mentioned about gallery representation and exhibitions. Is that kind of your goal day to day, is to create pieces for the gallery? What is your arrangement there in terms of displaying your art?
Right now, I did have a recent solo show at my gallery that I'm represented with right now, the Maud Sharif Gallery in Claremont, California. I also participate in a lot of ongoing exhibitions and just events at the gallery. Claremont, downtown Claremont's a local hub for artists, and we're very supportive of each other. And there's a wide range of artists making work. My solo, I had a mix of, my embroidery, I like to think of them as paintings, so my embroidery paintings, and then my mixed media paintings, and sculpture as well, and an installation. But yeah, I have ongoing things with that gallery. I'm represented on Artsy, artsy.com. And I'm in a group exhibition, The Threads That Bind, at the Brea Gallery. Well, it's hosted by the Brea Gallery. It was curated by Museo Art and Culture Museum. And so I'm in that exhibition right now. And I also have an upcoming exhibition early next year in the spring at the Sassy Museum of Art that I'll be having a solo exhibition for as well.
Wow, you're actively showing all several places. That's great. Do you create for an exhibition, or do you just keep creating art and then when it's time for an exhibition, select what you want to show?
Well, I'm always making work. And I would say typically I have a sense of when this is becoming a body of work, cohesive, translating into a cohesive body. And at least in the last while, it's been more of I'm making work and then simultaneously I'm having people reach out to me and ask me to exhibit the work. That sort of is the process at the moment.
Yeah, okay.
It
seemed like, and maybe I'm reading too much into it, but one of the things that we have discussed with other guests is the whole approach to art that if it isn't painting, sculpture, drawing, or photography, it's not real art. And I like that you refer to your art as painting. Do you find that your art is accepted as your textile, basically textile art, is accepted in the general art community? So you don't get that resistance?
No, I think it might be sort of the community as well. I would say in LA, there are a lot of textile artists, and it is fine art.
Yes.
It is not necessarily craft, although I suppose there's probably a blurring at times. But just because it's the medium that would use as traditional craft, I would say the practice is and the result is fine art. Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, we agree 100% that it's art. There's no question about it. But we've run into more than one where there's clear separation in the minds of some.
Yeah, I think the textile art community largely is centered in making the material a medium into new contemporary context, explaining, their own personal narratives. Mm-hmm. Mine happens to be at the moment, centered around like empowerment against adversity, sort of like unraveling like personal and cultural history, I would say. I'm really interested in like creating something new, but there's also sort of a disruption and subversion of the materials. Like working in this mixed media and textile format, I'm synthesizing sort of, you know, the material like and the past. It feels really like regenerative. It feels authentic, sort of on intrinsic too. Like just because, you know, now like with, well, technology, like AI, and there's a lot of like copying, and
yes,
it's like hard to tell like where the hand sort of takes place in the work.
Mm-hmm.
I'm almost like driven right now to make work that's like difficult to take pictures of or even videos. Like I've had a lot of people tell me that standing in front of it is different than seeing the picture of it. And that's sort of like my drive, if you will.
Yeah, we've been having discussions lately about copyrights and, yeah, basically theft of art. And, yeah, it's gets easier every day. Yeah, frustrating.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's just differences. Like I understand like the sort of social pressures or like reasons why people make prints versus only originals. I think just like for my purpose, like it's just something that I am really interested in for my work is just having it be solely like original.
Mm-hmm. So do you feel your art evolving with time and that if we come back to you in a year, you're likely doing something completely different? Or are you still really in the middle of exploring this this current form?
Yeah, I think if you went forward in forward in time, I think you would still see, you'd still see my voice. Like you would still see, like it would still be recognizable as mine. It just might have changed like slightly, you know,
mm-hmm.
in appearance, right? I'm always like sort of challenging myself to just like experience the creation differently. But I think there are a lot of similar sort of forms and patterns in all of it. I'm really interested in like finding new ways to sort of achieve like movement and the like linear sort of woven aspect. It's funny because if you look at my paintings, even from years and years back, it's like always there. Like I'm really interested in in like overlapping lines for some reason. And so I will probably continue to find new ways to do that.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You express an awful lot with those overlapping lines. So, yeah. Yeah. So then you mentioned a couple of exhibits. Is that pretty much what lies ahead for you is creating art for exhibits?
Yeah, I have a few exhibitions planned. I have some things also that sound like they're in the works as well. So I'll continue to keep busy as I always am.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, Brittany, thank you so much. This is it's just absolutely fascinating art, and how you achieve it is fun to watch. So thanks for sharing with us. We appreciate it.
Great. Thank you for having me on your show.
All right. Thanks. And thanks to everyone for listening.